side effects of this, which you may or may not want, you will get an increased autograph request in your mail. I warn you that ahead of time in case you want to change your mind.
Yeah, right now, being just a, you know, old has-been and then not much of a player when I was, I get about one or two a week now.
Oh, that's, boy, that's surprising. I would think you'd, you were a famous man.
Oh, yeah. I guess I've known a little bit more from my college days than, you know, professional baseball. But anyway, I never seem to mind. I always think, you know, if somebody sends me a self-addressed envelope, what's the big deal to sign the card and send it back?
Okay, well, that's great. That's a great attitude. I don't know if you... Well, yeah, you played with Nick Testa. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked with Nick...
Was that with the...
With the Giants in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He played one game there that year, 58. I talked with him. He said he gets about... a big year, he may get 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said about the month after the interview appeared, he got about 40 of them. So it was quite an increase.
I would say I know I get more than 10. I think I must average at least one a week. So let's just say I get 52.
Okay. Well, if it's proportionately more, you'll get writer's cramp. I'll ask you, I'll probably ask you 10 or 12 questions. And if you will, please just answer them as short as long or as long as you want. And if you don't want to answer something, just, you know, just say so.
Sure.
Pretty generic questions. You're one of the top two or three college football players in the country. When you won the Silver Football, you were at least consensus All-American, if not unanimous All-American, a couple of years.
Yeah, I was unanimous All-American 2 years in a row, 52 and 53. That meant AP, UP, the Look magazine at the time, Collier's magazine.
Uh-huh.
The NEA, all of that business.
You weren't a big football player, though. You were 5'10", 11"?
Yeah, about 5'10 and a half, about 180.
The Bears drafted you.
Yes, they did.
What round?
They drafted me in the ninth round. Dallas had talked to me when I was finishing up my college career and wanted to know my interest factor in pro football as opposed to baseball. I said, I'll be honest with you, if I get a chance to go to professional baseball, and the contract, in those days they had bonus players,
right.
Was right, I was leaning towards baseball. He said, well, we'd draft you higher, but we just can't take a chance on a much higher choice if you're leaning towards baseball.
Of course.
It was nine.
Were you tempted at all?
I was tempted, because I loved the game, obviously, and I thought that while I might not make it as a halfback because of my size and I wasn't very fast off the single wing, I thought I had a strong enough arm and a good enough arm that I could be developed into a pretty good quarterback. And at that time, they were starting to experiment a little bit with the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And we had played some of the spread formation in college. So I thought I was a fairly decent scrambler and runner so that if I had to... I could run with the ball and throw.
Weren't you on a couple of the All-American teams, I think in your junior year, weren't you taken as the passer, chosen as the passer on the All-American? They weren't called the quarterback.
No, I was chosen as a running back and left halfback.
Okay. I thought I remembered the other way around on a couple of them. But the Giants threw $60,000 at you.
Yeah, roughly $60,000 when you included the bonus plus the salary.
Uh-huh. That's hard to turn down.
Yes. Yeah, and baseball was so much further ahead at that time as far as, I don't know so much of those minimum salaries, but as far as the bonus, the ability to go to the minor leagues if you didn't make it right away and at least work your way back up or try to, whereas in football, if you didn't get... hurt physically, and you couldn't cut it, you were really out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no place to go.
That's a story of, I guess, the other top back, Johnny Lattner, of your time.
Yes.
You and
Johnny
he were the top two.
Johnny Lattner beat me out for the Heisman Trophy.
Yes. And just barely, if I recall correctly.
Well, they, at the time, used the expression in one of the slimmest votes in the history of the Heisman.
Uh-huh. Well, he had probably had a higher profile being at Notre Dame.
Pardon?
He probably had a higher profile being at Notre Dame.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyway, I never had any regrets. I had a great career and a wonderful career, a lot of memories, and I got to meet John Lattner on a number of these All-American teams, and we became good friends.
Uh-huh.
Haven't seen each other since 75 when we went back for one of these Hall of Fame dinners at New York, but I didn't envy him because he's a very fine athlete and a good person.
And he wasn't a great big man either, was he?
He's a little taller than I am. He's probably closer to 6 feet tall, I'd say. Maybe 6'1 and about 190.
I didn't know it was quite that big.
Mm-hmm. He played 1 year with the Pittsburgh Steelers and had a pretty good rookie year, and then he went in the service and he got hurt playing service ball. And he never really recovered from that.
I believe he wanted to pick up 600 yards back in that 1 year with him, something like that?
Yes.
Back in a 12-game season?
Yeah. And the scouting report on the guy was that he wasn't fast enough to get around the bend or average passer and average punter, and he did all three things for them and was like, I don't know, if not rookie of the year, he was right up there.
Should have been anyhow. Yeah, well, you signed with the Giants. Your first game, you faced the Pirates, and I guess, I don't know if this has ever happened before or not, but you faced a Heisman Trophy winner, another All-American from the Big Ten in your first game, Vic Janowitz.
Vic Janowitz, that's right.
It struck him out.
I mean, it was the first league game that I pitched in.
Right.
I had one exhibition game. Yeah, I struck him out, and either that, I thought I struck out the side.
You did. Your first inning, you struck out the side, and he was one of them.
Yes, and then I think one of the O'Brien twins.
Yeah, they were both there. Yeah, I'm sure you got one of them as you faced Janowitz because they batted right behind each other.
Yeah. I can't remember who the other, to me it was a first baseman for Pittsburgh, but I couldn't be sure.
An impressive start, and then in 55...
I should have quit right there.
While you're ahead?
And it seems to me it was a surprise because I just came in to finish up because the game, Bob Friend, I think, won that game for Pittsburgh, and they beat us pretty soundly that day.
Mm-hmm. So you were just getting some experience.
Yeah, I mean, the game was over with when I came in, probably in the top of the ninth, and then, you know, they went on to win it, but I got a little experience.
Well, the next year, you had a good year. You were very effective.
Yes, I had a pretty good year. I think I was 4-4 or something like that with about a 3.2 or earned run average,
mm-hmm.
about 80-some innings pitched, and had pretty good confidence in myself. I went in the service for 2 years. I came back, and they were the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
And so I kind of struggled with the Giants, shipped me down to Phoenix, won about three games there. They called me back, and I made it the rest of the way through the 58 season. But I was really, always the 10th man on a 10-man staff, really, kind of hanging on. Never had quite enough.
You pitched extremely well in that short stay at Phoenix.
Yes. Well, I had a great team, too. Gee, we had Joey Amalafatano, an old roommate of mine, and we had Leon Wagner and Willie McCovey and Tommy Haller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the shortstop we had who played with the Giants for a while.
Was it Brissou? Eddie Brissou?
Eddie Brissou was with us.
Yeah.
I don't think he was playing short at the time, and it wasn't Valdez, I'm trying to think of his name.
Sandy, Valdespino was an outfielder. Valdevielso?
Pardon?
Valdevielso?
It may have been.
I can't remember his first name.
It might have been Eddie Brissou.
But nonetheless, you know, you may have had a good team, but you didn't give up any runs to the other guys, or very many. You were quite effective. Very low run average. I had it here in front of me.
Chances are, as I look back, probably I should have stayed with that team the entire year, but, you know, to get called back to the majors is quite a thrill.
Yeah.
And so I did finish out the rest of the 58 season, and then in 59 I went cut-down date to the Pittsburgh Pirates and I can't remember there was a deal involved, but I ended up with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It was just there.
Wait a minute, let me see. I can't remember the sequence now. From in 1958, I finished up the season.
You finished the year in San Francisco in 58, yeah.
Yeah, then I was with the Pirates.
You started the year with Pittsburgh and then went to Columbus.
That's right. And I think I finished at Columbus, went to spring training in 60 with the Pirates, and I was on a Salt Lake City contract.
And you started the year with Pittsburgh.
And I started the year with the Pittsburgh, and after the All-Star break in July, they brought back a guy by the name of George Witt,
uh-huh.
who'd had a sore arm, and they cut me, sent me to Salt Lake City. And then I finished out the season there and was going to get out of baseball, and Calvin Griffith called me that they had bought my contract from Pittsburgh.
Now that had to be a temptation, going to the hometown.
Well, I was going to get out, so I did. I thought, well, I'll give it one more try in my own backyard. And then in June of 61, they traded me to Kansas City along with Reno Vittoria for Bill Tuttle, and I said, I went there for one day, pitched against the old Washington team, and thought I had pretty good stuff, and they batted me around quite hard, and I decided, no, that's it. And I retired from baseball.
Where'd you go then?
Well, I went back to graduate school at the University of Minnesota until the Minnesota Vikings had their inception, and I joined them in public relations for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the Vikings, I went to WCCO Radio, a big CBS affiliate here that did the Vikings and the Twins and the Gophers as their sports director. So I did some on-air work, sports shows, and did the color on the Vikings and the Gopher football, and was there for 8 years before I left to go to the University of Minnesota as the men's athletic director.
And you've been there ever since?
Well, I left the university in July of 88, went with the Minnesota North Stars for a year in sales, hockey,
mm-hmm.
and now since October 1 of 90, I've been the vice president for public affairs for the Minneapolis Heart Institute Foundation.
Oh.
I had bypass surgery in December of 83, and then in 85 I had to have some other work done on one of those angioplasties.
Wow.
Kind of like Bo Schembechler.
Yeah.
But these are the people that took care of me, and so I have a great interest factor in finishing out my career as a professional fundraiser for a very worthy organization.
You still, I imagine, you may think that you're not too well known around the country. I expect you are more than you think, but I bet up there you're still a very big name.
Well, I've been very fortunate. Just last week, Wednesday, I was inducted into the Minnesota Sports Hall of Fame, along with Herb Brooks, if that name rings a bell,
mm-hmm, sure.
who I had as my coach at Minnesota when I hired him, and a guy by the name of Pug Lund, who was an All-American back in 34 on Bernie Bierman's great team.
Mm-hmm.
John Kunla, who had the old Minneapolis Lakers when they won 6 NBA titles, and he coached at the university, and a wonderful woman skier by the name of Cindy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
She's nationally known and internationally, but now she's out of Dale. She came from a northern town up near Duluth, and so that was a nice honor to go into the Minnesota Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I bet it was. Back to your career, you were, well, in both sports, what was your best game or biggest thrill in both football and baseball?
Well, I think my biggest thrill in football was my senior year in 1953. I was captain of the Gopher football team. Michigan came in here rated number one in the country. I think they were 4-0. We were maybe 2-2. I'm not quite sure. And we had been defeated by Michigan in 51 and 52 at Ann Arbor pretty soundly. And I wanted very badly to beat Michigan, and we beat them 22-0.
All right, big game.
And I had a big individual day. I think I had 284 total yards. And at that time, it was a record that held up for quite a few years of handling the ball, either running or passing, some 53 times in that game.
Wow, you were the whole offense.
Yeah. Well, we played the single wing where the tailback, you know, does most of the handling of the ball. So that was, I'd say, my number one throw football-wise. I can't say exactly in college baseball what my big thrill was. It might have been that my sophomore year I got off to a bad start in preseason, but we got into the Big Ten, and I was just about ready to hang it up, think maybe football's my sport, and I won 5 straight games in the Big Ten.
Good.
I didn't have big schedules, but I won every one of my games and led the conference in ERA with a one. Oh, about a 2-point something, and I only averaged about 1.1 walks a game, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what it was, but it was coming from almost quitting, winning every one of my games meant a lot to me.
That's a big turnaround.
Yeah.
What about as a professional?
Well, I didn't win that many games, but I think I got a win in relief, my first win in Wrigley Field against the Cubs when I was with the New York Giants, and pitched three innings and shut them out over that period of time and get a win. And that's where I saw my first pro baseball game when I was a kid, was Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
So to win, and just to be in the major league and finally win a game was a great thrill.
I bet it was.
And I think I won 11 my total career. 11-9 or something like that.
Something like that. I've got you. Like I said, I have the record here, and I've closed the book. We had a litter of puppies today, and it's gotten the whole day confused. She's right here in the office on the floor behind me, so I can watch things. Anyhow, but let me change the subject. You had two teammates at one with the Giants and one with the Pirates, two probably the greatest players of the last half century, Mays and Clemente.
Mm-hmm.
How do you compare them as far as overall ability and everything?
Well, I would say I can't go into statistics, you know, comparing home runs and RBIs and triples and doubles or anything like that. I would say they're obviously both great ones.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm hesitating, because I'm trying to be fair to Roberto Clemente, who I didn't spend as much time with as I did with Willie. I was with Willie in 54 when he came out of the service and had his fabulous year. And then 55, and then most of 58, whereas I wasn't with the Pirates all that long. I would say Willie was a little smoother, just a little smoother doing his thing than Roberto.
Mm-hmm.
Roberto, when he was running, for example, just he ran hard, thundering. Willie was a little smoother running. Both had great arms and could hit for power. I'd have maybe give the edge to Willie.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a fair assessment, but that's my opinion. You play with him, so you have a little better insight, I think. We're getting to the end. Did you save souvenirs from your careers?
No, I've got a couple. I've got a couple of baseball bats, you know, that were commemorative bats from the World Series. One's pure black, you know, ebony collar with some gold inlay. And then I've got a regular Louisville slugger. Hold on one second.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What about your football career? Did you save any mementos from that?
I got some footballs around from white autograph footballs. You can barely read the writing on now. Autographs from the guys on the Look magazine team and that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of a uniform upstairs and some old low cut base football shoes. Not much.
You still have your silver football?
Yeah, I've got two silver footballs.
I didn't know you had two.
That was a nice thrill for me. Up until Archie Griffin, I was the only player in the history of the Big Ten to win the Big Ten MVP 2 years in a row. That's the Chicago Tribune Award.
Yeah, you got it. I knew you got it as a senior. I didn't realize you got it as a junior.
And senior. And then Archie Griffith came along years later, and he won it.
A long time
along
later.
His two Heisman trophies.
Got to be 20 years later, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that was quite a thrill for me.
I bet it was. Well, if you went back, would you do it the same way again?
Yes.
Baseball's the one.
I say that without hesitation. No, you mean would I go into football as opposed to baseball?
Well, just would you do the whole thing again, like you did?
Oh, yes, yes. I always, as a kid growing up in Minnesota, I loved baseball and football, and the Gophers were my team, and I had no regrets. I got a degree. I had a lot of nice things happen to me. Some nice opportunities when I was out of professional baseball, even though I didn't make it very big, certainly. But I've had a very interesting career. Almost 17 years at the University of Minnesota, with all the ups and downs and the visibility and the problems in athletics, was quite an experience for me.
I bet it was. Well, Paul, that was it. It was not too long. I really appreciate your time. As I told you in the letter, I don't know if you remember, when you were in Minnesota, I was like 11 and 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my chief reasons to buy a football book, a Street and Smith, one of those things, was your picture being in it. I'd somehow been convinced that you were the greatest thing ever to touch pigskin. And then I found out you played baseball too, and this really made you a super person, because baseball was my main focus. I'd always wanted to play. I ended up getting scouted, but not quite offered what you were offered, so I never went anywhere. But it was, I followed your career. I lived in Los Altos, and I got to see you when you played in San Francisco a couple of times, and I really thought that was great, and I somehow just never could understand why you weren't as good as I wanted you to be.
Well, if they had the whatever they call it, that thing that clocks your fastball, I'm sure that I would have been at best in the low to mid 80s, and I didn't, for whatever the reason, I never could develop a good overhand curveball, and I had a mediocre slider. You know, I try to throw a changeup now and then, but sooner or later I have to come in with a mediocre fastball, and I just did not have enough for the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always hanging on. I was trying hard. And then finally, at the end, I had really lost a lot of confidence in myself. And I thought, if you're not going out to the mound in relief with confidence, you know, you're hoping you get them out, then you got a problem.
Yeah, if you give in to them, you've lost it halfway
there. I'm not being fair and honest with myself, nor am I being fair to the ball club. And so one day with Kansas City, and that's when I quit.
One last question. I'm sorry, I told you it was over. One more. Do you think the bonus rule hurt you? Do you think you could have accomplished more had you had some minor league seasoning before you joined in?
I would have to think so, because I only had mediocre stuff. And maybe I would have been in the minor leagues, like at Phoenix or Double A, would have been able to work on the slider and the curve and work on the changeup a little bit more, because when you're in relief with a major league, I mean, you haven't got time to experiment.
Right.
You got to go with whatever you've got at that time. And as I say, I really didn't. There were some games I went out and had good stuff. Maybe the arm just had a little more life in it. But day in and day out, I think I'm competitive. So I don't think it was because I didn't try or I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't have enough. And I'm not the only one that's happened to.
Oh, no.
That's why players get cut.
That's right. There's a whole lot more that aren't great than that are great.
I saw Sandy Koufax when he came up. When I was with the Giants, we went over to Ebbets Field one day.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this kid. But honest to God, he could throw bullets. But that was in 55. And I was with the Giants out in San Francisco for a little bit in 59 before they sent me to Pittsburgh. And I remember the Giants saying when Sandy Koufax was pitching, even in 1959, after 55, 56, 57, 50, stay close. Sooner or later, he'll walk the park and you'll beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't really find himself to the early 60s.
He was around
he had going
5 or 6 years anyhow before he got it together.
I'd love to have that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't work on it, but don't tell me that you can teach the fastball.
No, you got to have that. You can learn a curveball, and you can learn the other stuff, but if you can't throw it 100 miles an hour, you just can't do it.
Well, listen, I hope that's it.
It is. And
I enjoyed it.
I really appreciate it. Two questions. Would you like to see a copy of this before I submit it?
Sure.
Okay, I will type it up. It'll probably be 4 or 5 days.
That's fine.
And then would you like a copy of it after it's published?
What is the name of the magazine again?
Sports Collector's Digest.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I would like to.
Okay. Well, I'll get the...
You got my address?
Yes, sir. I'll get the typed manuscript to you. This is Tuesday. Probably be next Tuesday or Wednesday. And I will not submit it to the magazine until I hear back from you to let me know that everything is in there that you wish to be in there and I haven't said something you don't want said.
Okay, fine.
And then we'll get you a copy when it is published.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.